Blog Talk Radio.
You cannot touch God's anointed. You can talk about, vilify, wring us through the mud, but don't mess with us. Because when you have an anointing over your life, God's got you covered. He covers you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I'm not going to say you won't go through, because you will. We all go through. But when we go through, all it does is make us stronger. It makes us more faithful. It lets us understand that faith is important. God gives us grace. But I can tell you this is the word God gave me. What your enemy means for evil, God will work it out for your good. What your enemy means for evil, God will work it out for your good. Why? Because he loves us like that. You know, he loves us, cares about us like that. He wants the best for us because he's God. And Jesus, our Savior, died so we could have the best life. Gave his life for our salvation. Enemy meant for evil. Kill this upstart. To kill this thinking he's the son of God. We're going to nip that in the bud. But what happened? What happened on Calvary's cross? The earth shook. The veil was torn from the top down. To know what you mean for evil is going to work out for good. Paul understood faith and grace and the sacrifice that God makes for us and made for us, his son, our Savior. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. So thanking God for this word this morning, thanking God for each of you who are joining us, can say is, whew, it's going to be a great word today as we move forward through the word of God, not looking back, moving ahead. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning, excited, filled up for this great word, Lord God, that you are giving us this morning. Through this basic instruction before leaving earth, Lord God, I thank you this morning for Dr. Stanley. I thank you this morning for Ezra Houghton. I thank you this morning for every listener, those that listen live and those that listen later. I thank you this morning, God, for this great word that you are giving us to make us understand and see how great you are. You are our Father, and you are a great Father. You are a wonderful Father, God. And I thank you this morning for salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, my Savior. Lord God, may his grace abound today and forevermore. Lord, give us hearts to love more than hate, to care more than be careless, to hope in a future and not walk in fear but in faith. For Lord, your grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. I thank you, Father, for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind, ready to go to work for you. Father God, I lift up this word, asking you, Father, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Father, be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And I thank you for being my Redeemer. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I give myself away, Father God, so you can use me on this day and forevermore. For I am your daughter. And I am your servant. And I thank you. I thank you with my whole heart for being my Father God. Again, in the name of the Master and Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Father, the Heavenly Father. Giving honor to our Savior, Christ Jesus. And thanking God for all that he has done and will do for all of us. For he is a great Father. And as always, we got to care about each other. Care about your fellow man. Love your neighbor more than you love yourself. God is watching. And he's watching all of us who say we love him. Because you cannot love God and hate your neighbor. And that is a word. So let's get into our word that's coming this morning. Woo! But the enemy means like evil. God will work it out for your good. You can take it to the bank. You can take it to the throne of grace. Because I tell you this, I've seen it happen. I've watched God work. You know, folks who think they're getting away with doing dirt to one of God's people better watch out. They better watch out because I tell you this, God will show up and show out. And everything done in the dark will come into light every time. Say it with me, what's done in the dark will come into light. So, Mr. Haman, you know, if you are a person that have read George R. R. Martin, the Fire and Ice, and are seeing the Game of Thrones, you know, when you talk about the hand of the king, Haman is like the hand of the king. He thought he had it going on. But understand, the Game of Thrones the hand of the king, got his head chopped off. But in that case, that hand of the king was a good person trying to do what was right. But everything worked out for his family anyway. I digress. We are not talking about fantasy. We're talking about reality. And the reality is what your enemies mean for evil, God will work it out for your good. Haman hated Mordecai. And I mean, hate is a strong word. But I believe in my heart, Haman hated Mordecai because he didn't bow and scrape and tremble when he walked by. He stood up. He did not bow and shake because he wanted favor. He stood up like a man of God. And the word tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But folks have a tendency to make people with power God. People with power are omnipotent. People with power, the best thing since sliced bread. And Haman wanted to be all those. He wanted to be the most powerful, even more powerful than the king. And he had a sneaky snake way of raising things to get the king to do what he wanted. And in his mind, he had already made a decision. I'm going to get this man hung on the gallows. Wives and friends like, build these gallows. You can, and then he's like, yeah, I'm going to talk to the king tomorrow. And we going to get him. He's going to get hung. Yeah, I'm getting him. Yeah, don't bow down to me. And you want to say, yo, mind, who do you think you are? You are. You know, I'm got to go back real quick over to yesterday's lesson, to chapter 6. And this is that one little thing that, you know, gets you. You know, that Haman just knew he had it going on because he had been invited to the queen's house. Actually, we'll go back to 5. He had been invited to the queen's house. He had had a banquet. And now, you know, he was walking that thing. You know, this is what it says in verse number 9 of chapter 5. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friend and his wife, Zariza. And Haman told them of his just a multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared, and tomorrow I'm again invited by her along with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. And now, you know, sometimes you can have a wife that is not right either. And Zariza was not right. I guess it's Zarisha. She wasn't Sharish. She was not right. She just evil thing. This is her idea. And his friends too. Now understand, your friends don't always have your best interest at heart. There's not one friend that said, man, you need to back up. You don't need to do that. Because you don't know what could happen. Don't do that. But no, they all right there because again, corrupting power corrupts. Corrupting power corrupts. If you are corrupt, your friends have a tendency to be just as corrupt as you are. If you are a con artist, your friends are just as conish as you are. If you are evil, you tend to have some evil friends. And this wife, oh, let a gallow be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it, then go merrily with the king to the banquet. wait a minute now. I'm going to ask the king to kill somebody because I don't like them. I've already set it up for all of their people, including them, to be annihilated. But I want to do something just more spectacular. I want to hang them on a 50-cubic gallows. Evil. Evil is evil is evil. And we better stop and think about it. Evil. Setting up generational curses. Folks wondering why they're going through. Because you hung somebody. Because you did some dirt. And Haman is about to. But then, you know, so he's all riding high. Not knowing that the king then had a dream. That the Lord, what Haman was trying to make for evil, God was about to turn it around for Mordecai's good. So as we continue in this word on yesterday and going into today's word, so he goes in and he's all happy. Hey, God, power over here. Power over here. And it says, so the king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai. Bam! What the enemy meant for evil, God is about to turn it around for good. So he just knew he was the greatest thing in the kingdom. And when the king said, what should you do? Now the king said to him, let him come in. So Haman came in and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? And of course, big head, small brain, evil heart, just knew it was me. It's got to be me. I'm the greatest kingdom. Oh, yes, beside the king. And I'm going to the queen's house today. A party over here. All right, now. And what happened? The king. So he thought of the most grandiose thing, a robe of the king to be walked through the whole kingdom in the city to let everybody know I'm so great. That's what he wanted. So this is what he said to the king. He said, so, you know, he's thinking it's all me. It's going to be me. I know it's going to be me. The king wants to honor me because I'm so great. Oh, yes, I'm great. And it says, well, the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor, then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights the honor. Oh my, you know, he's like, it's my dream come true. Everybody will know how important I am. What the enemy meant for evil, God will work it out for our good. Now he had come in to get Mordecai executed. Come in with a mind to ask the king to hang Mordecai. But what happened was all the things that he thought for himself, because he was selfish and he was evil, and he had a hard heart, got twisted around. And what happened? He had to put that kingly robe on Mordecai, the person he hated the most. He had to put him on that horse, the person he hated the most. Oh, and then he had to walk in front of him proclaiming, woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Wow. Look at God. And you know what? The Mordecai go away with his head. It's just all puffed up. I have been honored by the king. I have worn the king's robe. I have ridden on the king's horses. Nope. He went back to the cave. Went back to where he was. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. But now Haman is a little scared. But Haman hurried to his house mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, it is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him. Oh, duh. Now common sense hits them all. If it's Mordecai you want to prevail against, you're not going to win. I'm sorry we gave you this bad advice. Friends, it do not have your best interest at heart. Because a true friend is going to tell you, that's not a good idea. The ones that want to carry favor tells you whatever you want to hear. But I tell you this. Now, let's see what happens to Haman. Esther chapter 7. Please join me. I am coming out of New King James, but King James readers can follow pretty closely. The only thing it doesn't have is thems and thous and, you know, extra words that change things around just slightly, but this is all in the same context as King James. So King James readers that are having a rough time, New King James is the next Bible I would suggest that you get. There's so many others. NIV, I know NIV is very close as well, but New King James is just basically King James without the thems and the thous is what I say. So anyway, this is what it says. So get excited with me, y'all. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request of to have the kingdom? It shall be done. The queen answered and said, if I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold for an eye to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue. Although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. So King Assyria answered and said to Queen Esther, who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked husband. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, will he also assault the queen while I am in the house? As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now, Harbonai, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Understanding, the king's eunuchs know everything. They know everything that's going on in the kingdom. They got spies everywhere because their job is to protect the king and the queen. And so, you know, he already knew. Oh, by the way, he has gallows built because he wanted to kill Mordecai. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. On that day, King Assyria gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king for Esther and told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letter devised by Haman, the son of the Hamadatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's providence. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Oh, how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?" Azariah said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, "Indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hands on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the signet ring, no one can revoke." So, in other words, the king had set it up that his stuff was irrevocable, just like our God has set it up that anything that the Lord has for you is for you, and can't nobody take it. They can try, they can scheme, but they cannot take what God has for you, is for you, and it is irrevocable, just like the king says it's irrevocable what has been written and sealed with my ring. It says, so the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded, to the Jews, the satraps and governors, and to the princes of the province from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, to every people in its own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Assyria, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by the couriers on horseback, riding on a rural horse's bred from swift steed. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day, in all the province of King Assyria, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is in the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the cathedral. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white with a great crown of golden garment and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province, the city, wherever the king's command decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. I want y'all to remember that. That many of the people became Jews. So, as they descended, everyone that claims to be a Jew may be a Jew in theory, but may not be a Jew in the bloodline. You know, we can all be Jew if we choose, because it is a faith. It is not a necessary heritage, because as we just read in the Word of God, that people became Jew out of fear. And so everybody who claims to be a Jew by birth may be a Jew by faith. So just think, you know, we sometimes, you know, get caught up in language and all this when we're all God's children. We're all the same. If you believe in our Father God, if you believe in his word, and for us that believe in Jesus Christ as our Messiah, as the Son of God, it is all faith. It is all faith. Because we understand the enemy wants us to be divided. The enemy wants us to hate each other. The enemy wants to create division between the mass wearers and the unmasked wearers, those that are vaccinated versus those that are not vaccinated, Republican versus Democrat, this white versus black, you know, this versus that. Everything in his power he tries to do to divide, because that's the only way he can conquer. But we as men and women of God have got to stand united, arm in arm, tight, so tight that there's not a crack between us, to say to the enemy, not today. What you mean for evil, God is switching it around for our good. We will be united. We will be united in love for each other, in love for our Father God, in faith and in the grace of Christ Jesus. What the enemy meant for evil, God worked it around for the good of Mordecai, for the good of Esther, and for the good of all those that became believers in the one true God. And they called themselves Jews. They understood that there is a power greater than us, and they have it. Because, but what did they do? They fasted and they prayed. Although it doesn't say prayer in the word, it just says fasted. But we already know that nothing comes but through fasting and prayer. God wants us to fast. We got to turn that plate over. We got to say, not today. And yes, you're going to be tempted. There's going to be, you'll be at something, and it's going to be past whatever your fasting time starts. And it's, oh, come on, it's all right. No, it's not. I'm not going to do that. You got to learn how to say no. Can't say, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't want to insult, you know, my host. I didn't want, you know. No, you just say, no, I'm good. And you mean it. Nobody need, you don't have to look, I'm fasting. I'm just so, you know, wash your face. Get yourself together. Nobody needs to know that you are fasting. And if it is meant for them, you to tell them, you got to say, I'm fasting and I'm praying for some things. So people understand the importance of fasting and prayer. You may change somebody's life. But you don't have to look all pitiful. You got to look your best, because things he needs you to do. And so some life lessons from Esther chapter 7 is this. And again, thank you, Dr. Stanley. And it says, let my people be given me as at my petition and my people at my request. Even in her urgent request, Esther demonstrates a humble spirit and a restrained attitude, thus enduring her even more to the king. Her godly self-control wins her far more than a violent outburst ever could. She didn't stand up and call Haman every kind of name in the book. Instead, she was humble to the king. Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Esther chapter 8, verse 2. The reversal of fortune just kept happening. Even when the skies grew darkest, we can stand on God's word and prayer and pray that he will intervene for our good and his glory. Psalms chapter 9, verse 15, Psalms 57 and 6. And we will go to those words. The story of Mordecai and Haman well illustrates Proverbs 13 and 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Woo, can the church say amen? And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9, and we're going to go to verse 15, this in context. And it says this, in Psalms chapter 9, verse 16, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 16. And it says, the Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hand. Meditation, Selah. And, you know, if we go down even to verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Oh, what a word. You know, it is a Psalm of David. Prayer and thanksgiving for the Lord's righteous judgment. And the Lord righteously judged Haman. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for his good, for the good of Mordecai, for the good of Esther, for the good of his people. God turned it around. Turned it around. We are the children of the Most High God, and he is going to take care of you. And he will take care of you. And our Psalm chapter 57, and it also is a Psalm of David, prayer for safety from enemies. And when we go to verse number 6, it says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Saul chased David from here to there and everywhere, trying to hold on to something that was no longer his because he did not do what he was supposed to do. He did not honor God, and we have to honor God in all that we do because everything you have come from God. You may have it in abundance and not know what to do. But I tell you, look around and say, thank you, Lord, for all I have. Thank you, Lord, for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Thank you, Lord, because even when you have the bad, it is to help you get to the good. Even when it's the ugly, it's so that you, from your mess, you have a message. From your test, you have a testimony. And Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of this, all of those things he wanted to accumulate, everything he was after, he lost it all, including his life, because he was evil. He was evil. And I tell you this, don't ever think that somebody, because you put him on a pedestal, and folks can put Haman, think about this, and put him on a pedestal. Made him think he was all that, tremble and shook, bowed down to him. But understand, when you fall, they go scatter like rats every last one. When you fall, they scatter like rats. So all these folks thinking they better than everything, better than God, that put themselves on pedestals. Folks worshiping them like they Jesus. Understand, when they fall, you fall with them. You can lose everything you have because you chose them over being right and righteous, being good and kind. you chose evil. And understand, what you may need for evil, God will switch it around for the good of those that love him. Just throwing it out there. Psalms 97 through 17. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquity before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finished our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. God says, I'll give you 70 years. That's what we're promised. If you do what you're supposed to do, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days, so we will gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early. With your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to your children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And the life lesson for this word is this: satisfy us early with mercy. God wants our relationship with him to fill us with joy and gladness as an advertisement to the world of his goodness and mercy. In your presence is fullness of joy. I love Psalm 16. You know, we're going to go there just for a quick minute, because there is nothing, you know, Psalm 16 is beautiful. But all the word of God. And when we go to Psalm 16, verse 11, and that's the last verse of the whole thing, of that whole psalm, but I'm going to read the whole psalm because it's beautiful. It's hope of faith in the Messiah's victory. And it just says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied with hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be moved. For my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It fills me up. Just love the word of God. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 10 through 11. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. And let's get into our Romans word this morning. And we are in Romans chapter 5, through verses 1 through 21. And the word of God says, therefore, having been justified by faith, there's that word, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in. Hope of the glory of God, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, but scarcely for the righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. More than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more than having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is now imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, the death reigns from Adam to Moses, even one, those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man, righteous act, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And I'm going to read verse 19 one more time. By one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness of to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whew. What a word this morning, and a life lesson. Having been justified, Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who place their faith in the risen Christ, the war with heaven is over. We move from darkness to light, from enemies to beloved children. From death to life, God showers his peace on those who trust him. And I thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this life lesson and for your commentary. And the next life lesson is this, Romans 5:3-4. We also glory in tribulation. Even when you're going through, know it's for a reason. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Trials, difficulties, and adversities are often God's way of maturing us into people who look more like his son. No one likes trials. But by faith, we can begin to understand how God may want to use them for our good. Hallelujah. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died, did not die only for nice people. He gave his God-honoring life for our God-dishonoring lives. He did this because of God's amazing love. God loves the sinner just as much as he loves the saint because he wants us. Let's call it straight. Most saints were sinners first. By his grace, we are saved. By his blood, we are made whole. Hallelujah. Thank God for the grace that he has given us because we could be sinners in sin with no hope for a future. But God. And it says this, what the Bible says about the grace in which we stand. Romans 5:1-5. And this is from Dr. Stanley. It says, when we think of grace, we think of God's unmerited favor. And rightly so. God forgives us out of his unconditional love. Therefore, we cannot earn our salvation, nor can we do anything to lose it. Unfortunately, there are some who fall for the lie that God's grace stops doing its work in us after we receive Jesus as our Savior. They forfeit the peace that God has provided them without need because they don't realize that God's grace is founded in love that is secure, temporary. Brother, the selfless mercy that God continually shows us is the very love Jesus displayed at Calvary. In Romans 5:1-2, the Apostle Paul explains, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith. That substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Into this grace in which we stand, that unmerited favor, come on now, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand securely in God's love because of Christ, not by our own merit. However, where many people become confused is because of the troubles they endure. They believe that they must have somehow fallen from God's favor because of the pain they face. Yet Paul demonstrates that God even uses the heartaches for our good. Yes, he does. I'm a witness. Paul wrote, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Understand that problems will come into your life. However, there are no reasons to believe that God has stopped loving you or that you somehow lost his grace. Just the opposite is true. God has allowed this suffering so that you will learn to persevere, so you'll develop his character, and so you'll have hope because of his great love for you. God wants you to experience his eternal abundant life more deeply. However, the only way to prepare you for it is through hardship. We go through because we need to get through. And when we get through, God will take us where we need to go. Hallelujah. So as you see, even the trials are the out. Therefore, instead of doubting God's love because of your troubles, rejoice in them. As 1 Peter 4:12-13 admonishes, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And that is our word this morning. And I tell you, it is a rich word. Don't think when you're going through that it's all over and that God does not love you. It just means that he loves you a lot and he wants you to be strong and courageous. And not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. Because God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm filled up, you Holy Spirit. We are blessed beyond measure because we are children of God. So don't think that what the enemy means for evil, God will not turn around for your good. He did it for Mordecai, and he'll do it for you. He did it for Esther, and he will do it for you. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said. Know that what God said is what's true. And it is God that will bring you through your storms. Because with God, all things are possible. With God, we will know that we also glory in tribulations. When you're going through, still rejoice. Lord, thank you. I know that this is for a reason and a purpose. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, we will persevere through whatever we're going through because we know that our daddy is on our side. Perseverance, it will build good character. And from your good character, you will have hope in the future. So I thank God for this word this morning. Like I said, I'm all filled up. Because it is a great word, and I can't do nothing but say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word today. And as always, before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, and I'm not seeing it this morning again. I try not to look until we do the word, because then I don't let it cloud whatever it is God has for me to say. And the word that God gave us this morning through our sister in Christ is this. Things have a way of working out. Come on now. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Come on, y'all. Have a triumphant Tuesday. I don't have anything else to say since Carolyn said it all. And I'm going to give it to you one more time because it covers everything that we studied this morning. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love more than anything. Never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. And know that God is with you wherever you go. And as we say always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I thank you for listening in. I thank you for tuning in live and later. I ask God to watch over you and to bless you evermore. But there is no God like our God. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap on moving forward. It's a wrap, but we have had a great word. And just remember, what your enemy means for evil, God will work it out for your good. Don't worry. Just pray. Have a blessed day, family, and have a triumphant Tuesday. It's a wrap.